Welcome back to the last 2 weeks of the nine. In these 2 weeks, like Trey mentioned, we'll be going through a series on prayer. Today, talking about what is prayer and why do we pray. And then next week, Paul will be talking about how we should pray. So let's get started. Morgan Freeman has a great voice. Morgan Freeman is a great actor. If you're not familiar with Morgan Freeman, he can be known for roles in such movies as The Shawshank Redemption, The Dark Knight Trilogy, and voicing the Wizard Vitruvius in the critically acclaimed film The Lego Movie. Morgan Freeman's deep, gravelly, grandpa-like voice is inviting and trusting. That is his most recognizable feature. We are captivated whenever he starts to speak. But one of his famous movie quotes, one of his famous lines, deserves a second look. The quote I'm referring to is from the movie Evan Almighty. Maybe you've seen it. Allow me to read the IMDb International Movie Database description of this movie. The description is, God contacts Congressman Evan Baxter and tells him to build an ark in preparation for a great flood. In this film, Morgan Freeman is playing God, which that in itself arises some concerns, but we don't have time to dive into that in particular. But there's a point in the film where Morgan Freeman is speaking to Steve Carell, who's playing the title character. And he's seeming in this line to teach what we could call maybe the Hollywood doctrine on prayer. So allow me to read the line for a second. Morgan Freeman says, if someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If he prayed for courage, does God give him courage, or does he give him opportunities to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings, or does he give them the opportunity to love each other? Is that true? Is that line, is that how prayer works? What this line is communicating is that God merely maybe provides opportunities when we pray. Prayer does not have an actual effect on our hearts and minds, as if that is beyond God's capabilities. Does this quote, does it pass the biblical smell test? Is that quote, is that how you have thought before about prayer? What even is prayer? So for the final two Sundays, like I talked about, for the final two Sundays of this semester, the question we will be using the Bible to tackle is we will be taking a deep dive into one of the very foundations of the Christian life, one of the very core disciplines, the three questions, what is prayer, why do we pray, and then next week, how do we pray? So like I said, next week, Paul shared, we'll tackle that third question. But for today, we're going to have three questions that will see what that will serve as our 3 points. And if you were able to grab a handout in the back, you can follow along with that. And if not, maybe find a time to roll back and grab it because we're going to be using a lot of scripture, and that's got it all in there for you. So if you find the opportunity to do that, take advantage of it. So the three questions is one, what is prayer? And then two, why do we pray? And then three, does prayer make a difference? Let's start at the very beginning, which is a very good place to start. Let's start at the very foundation, or the very foundational question of what is prayer? And allow me to be bold and somewhat aggressive here at the start, and allow me to put prayer simply into one sentence to start. Prayer is when we humbly come before God to communicate and commune with him. When we humbly come before God to communicate and commune with him. To communicate is to speak to and hear from, right? We understand that. But then commune is to be in close contact with. So prayer is when we purposefully speak to and are in close contact with our Creator. But we know that our Creator, our God, he is three in one. Our God is triune, right? So also when we engage in prayer, we are engaging with all three distinct persons of the Trinity. All three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, have a role in the question of what is prayer. So let's start with the Father, right? Prayer is when we are speaking to God the Father. speaking to God the Father. The act of praying specifically to God the Father is what we see throughout Scripture. Therefore, our prayers should also be directed to the Holy Father in the Trinity as a general rule. And why should we do this? It is because he is also our Father. Romans 8, 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So all who are led by the Spirit, or all who are saved, are the sons or the daughters of God. And what does being a child of this Father look like? Do we fall back into fear, into isolation after we are saved? Absolutely not. This verse is saying is that we have a spirit of adoption. We are children of God, and because of this spirit, because of this position of salvation, we can do what? We can cry out to our Abba Father. We can pray to our good Father because he is our Father. So how are you and I, how am I adopted into this position of being a child of God? And that's simply through the gospel, right? We can pray to God the Father, knowing that he is our Father and we are adopted, and we can cry out, Abba, Father, because of the gospel, which is God, eternal, is righteous and holy and independent from humanity. And he created the world and he created humanity to be in communication and be in community with him. But since the beginning of humanity, since almost the very beginning, we have put ourselves above God. We have disobeyed his commandments, and we have turned away from communicating with him. We have turned away from being in community with him, which is called sin. Right? And because of that sin, we are no longer seen before God as being a children of him who can be in community with him forever in heaven. Therefore, the consequences of that is hell. But 2,000 years ago, the Son of God came as a man in the flesh, lived the perfect life, did never disobey God, and then sacrificed himself on a cross, which was the will of the Father, that whoever now, so you, me, and everyone in this room, if we believe in Jesus, who was that perfect man, and then repent of our sins, if we believe in Jesus and repent, we are now adopted into that family. We now have community with God forever in heaven. And now we can cry out, Abba, Father. So now we are adopted through Jesus, who is now the firstborn of all of us adopted, which is in Romans 8 as well. And that is why we can call out in prayer to our Father God. Sometimes I think we hear people speaking about their prayer life or speaking about in prayer, and they say, I feel as if the prayers are just going up and hitting the ceiling and coming right back down, right? Which God is, he's omniscient and he's omnipresent, so that doesn't really make sense from a physical standpoint. But I get what they're saying. They're saying they get down on their knees right before bed, they say a prayer, and they feel like they watch it rise to the ceiling, and then subsequently it hits the ceiling and falls right back down, or maybe it gets chopped up in the fan or something. The point they are trying to make is this: is if they don't feel that God is hearing them. Right, friends, but if you are a child of God, God does not have that ceiling barrier in our communication with him. God says, you are in the family. God the Father is not like he's in the apartment upstairs with the ceiling separating us. God has blown out that ceiling, and it's not like we're one family living in a loft together or something, right? There's open and free communication there. It's unhindered speech. So we pray to the Father. What is prayer? It is speaking to the Father. And next, praying is speaking to the Father through Jesus, right? So what is prayer? It is speaking to the Father through Jesus the Son. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So this book, this passage is from the book of Hebrews. It is a long essay on how the Old Testament, how it points to and is fulfilled in the person of Jesus. The high priest in the Old Testament was the one who would come before God in God's temple and would petition on behalf of the people. He would make a sacrifice for the atonement of the sins of the people. Quite simply, the high priest would act as the representative for the people in that time, petitioning God for the forgiveness of sins. So now, after the cross, right, if we are a believer, Jesus is our high priest representative. He is the one through whom we are seen as righteous because we are the believer. Remember the message of the gospel we just talked about. It is through Jesus. We are adopted into being a child of God through Jesus, empowered by the Spirit in that passage. And now, because of that, through Jesus, what can we do? With confidence, we can draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive a mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So let's sum that up. Because our high priest, Jesus, was a perfect man who walked on this earth and sacrificed himself for the forgiveness of sins, we can also, through him and his petitioning on our behalf, pray to the Father with confidence, asking for mercy and grace and help. Praying to the Father through the Son. Let's continue with that image, right, of the prayers hitting the ceiling and coming back down. But remember, now we're living in a prayer loft. Well, Jesus was the one who took that sledgehammer and totally destroyed the ceiling. He is the one who gives passageway through his representation for our prayers to go to God. And now he is the one sitting next to God and saying, yeah, they're good, right? They belong in the house. They belong in this family. Because he is the one through whom we were brought into the family and the one through whom we pray. So prayer is speaking to the Father through the Son and now the third person of the Trinity by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hopefully, after the previous 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, we are at least somewhat better informed about the person of the Holy Spirit. We know from our time in the Holy Spirit talks that he is the one who creates in our hearts the ability to accept the gospel. He applies the work of Jesus to us. And this is fundamentally the power that the Spirit has on us to come before God in confidence. But we also pray by the power of the Holy Spirit in that he is daily equipping us to pray. Romans 8, 26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit, he changes our hearts and minds to pray the will of God. The Spirit puts in our mouths the desire to call out to God. And through our prayers, the Spirit is interceding. So for one last time, let's go back to our prayer loft. We are praying to the Father through the Son, who is our representative. And in this scenario, the Spirit is the one who is lifting our heads and saying, speak. The Spirit is interceding with us with groanings too deep for words. Romans 8. So the summary of our first question, what is prayer? It is speaking and communing with God. It is speaking to the Father through the Son by the power of the Spirit. So what about you? Is that what you thought prayer was? Do you pray to the Father? I think there's probably two ways to take the knowledge that we are praying to the Father maybe a little bit too far in the way you're praying. We can try and be super wordy and impressive when we pray because we know we are speaking to our Creator and Lord, right? We think for some reason that we must impress him with our knowledge or our speech. So we know we're praying to our Father. He's the creator. He's our Lord. We must be super impressive, right? We don't need to do that when we're praying because God knows what we need before we even pray him, before we even pray it. But the other way, the other end of the spectrum, to know that we are praying to the Father, to take it too far, is to become maybe somewhat irreverent, right? We forget that he's our sovereign Lord and creator and just think of him maybe as some sort of purely earthly father. Maybe we start our prayers with, "Hey, Daddy," right? So we can try and be too wordy or we can be too irreverent with this knowledge. I think both would be a wrong application. Pray to the Father with the knowledge that he is both our Father and our Lord. And are you praying through Jesus? The ending that you often hear at the end of a prayer, in Jesus' name, that's not meaningless. It isn't like when you're sending an email, you have an email account, you set up the signature where it just says, "Kind regards, Nathan Brock." Right? It's not like that. You don't think, okay, I don't have anything to say. I'm just going to end it with, "In Jesus' name." That phrase, or that meaning of our prayer, it is the recognition and the claim that we are coming to the Father in the one who has brought us into the children of God. We are coming in Jesus' name. And is the Spirit empowering you in prayer? When you pray, expect the Spirit to create in your heart praises, petitions, confessions. Know that he empowers you while you pray. So now that we've answered the question of what is prayer, let's go on to the second question of why do we pray? So we know what is prayer, but now why do we pray? This point will be short and simple with three reasons we are to pray. Obviously, you can find more reasons to pray in Scripture, but we're going to keep it simple with three basic reasons this morning. Those reasons are, number one, to obey God, number two, to know God, and number three, to love others. So we pray to obey God. Very simply, God commands us to pray to him. Matthew 6:9. "Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This verse is set in the middle of Jesus instructing his disciples on how to pray. This is often called this passage the Lord's Prayer, or maybe the model prayer. And actually, this motto prayer, we held hands and recited this verse as a basketball team before every game in high school. Although I suspect not everyone on the team said it because we didn't win the state championship. But I'm completely joking about that. Spoiler alert, to win a basketball game is not one of our reasons to pray. But look at the very beginning of this verse, very beginning of verse 9. "Pray then like this." There is both here an expectation that the followers of Jesus will be praying, and then a command to pray in a certain way. So, to think about this, imagine with me a normal suburban backyard. You see a little girl seated in the mud playing with just sticks in the backyard. Then there is this good, loving father standing in the backyard next to his daughter saying, "Speak to me." The father, he is the giver of life to this girl. He is their provider and her protector. If the father says, "Speak to me," the daughter has the obligation to speak. But it is also in her best interest to speak to the father because he loves her. Would it make any sense for her to continue just sitting in the mud, playing with sticks, when her father is asking her to speak to him? The father would say, "I'm the giver of what lasts. Those sticks you're concerned about, those sticks that are keeping you from speaking to me, those will eventually decay." And does God not ask the same of us? Is it not our responsibility and in our best interest to pray to our Father and our Creator? And if we are obeying God by speaking to him, that also delights him. And when we do so, it pleases him. the Father will have a smile on his face as we come before him to communicate with him. Proverbs 15:8 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him." So we pray, right? We know what prayer is. Why do we pray? We pray to obey God, which pleases him. But also, we pray to know God. We pray that we may be helped to know God. Ephesians 1:17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." So by the power of the Spirit and his empowering us in prayer, we may know God more fully. Through prayer, we are given wisdom and revelation in knowledge of God, which makes sense, right? You know someone better when you are communicating in community with them. So let's say we're in that backyard again. There's the father, there's the daughter. Maybe she's still playing with the sticks. Now he is still, because he is her father, he is still providing some common graces for this girl, right? She still has a backyard, even because of him. She even has those sticks because of him. So she still benefits from the father, right? She's still benefiting from him being her father. But if she never looks to him and says father, does she truly know him? She has no intimate relationship with her provider, protector, and her ultimate judge. So through prayer, through talking to God, we are able to know God better. And now on to the final reason today we're going to talk about why to pray. It is to love others. So we pray to love others. We pray to love other believers. Colossians 4:3-4, "At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." So seen throughout the New Testament, and especially in the letters of Paul, is an exhortation to pray for other believers. Pray for their souls, pray for their ministry, pray for their evangelism, and pray for their strength. So we are loving other believers when we pray. But also, we pray to love unbelievers. 1 Timothy 2:1. "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people." So we must also pray for the person who has not placed their faith in Jesus, that they may know this God and repent and believe in Jesus, the Son of God. So we're praying to love others, to love other believers, and praying to love unbelievers. One more time to that backyard. The girl, she looks over and she sees her brother. She sees her brother struggling to stand, or she sees her brother becoming more and more preoccupied with those sticks that are so important to him. She says, "Father, help him stand. Father, give my brother strength." Or maybe she looks over and she sees just another child who is either unaware or unwilling to acknowledge the presence of this father. And the girl says, "Father, call to them." So these are the reasons we pray. We pray to obey God, we pray to know God, and we pray to love others. So do you pray for these reasons? First, we must be aware in the first place that there are reasons to pray. So, set times to pray. Every day. Be intentional with your prayers. Pray real words. Don't just set time to maybe sit there and send feelings up to God, right? Send some sort of good vibes, right? Pray real words because we are praying to a real God who cares about our real desires and our real feelings. Therefore, we should say what we are really praying. Put it into words. Really communicate. So pray to obey God, to know God, and pray to love others. So those were the two main questions that set us up for next week. The two main questions of what is prayer and why do we pray? That will help us next week with how we pray. But I want to take a second and maybe take a step back. Let's ask the question that has nagged at the minds of humans for millennia. The question is, does prayer make a difference? So does prayer make a difference? What I mean by this question is that if God is sovereign, or God has predestined all things and is over all things, would that render our prayers futile? Think about it. If God has decided all things from the beginning of time, which the Bible teaches, would my prayers at this point in time, would that not just be worthless? You may have come to the same dilemma. I must admit, it has plagued my thoughts before. And so the simple answer to this question, the question is God sovereign or do our prayers matter? The answer is yes. The simple answer is that God is sovereign over all things, including our prayers. Let me explain. So God determines the outcomes, God determines the ends, but God also determines the means. So if God has determined that he is going to heal a person of cancer, the way he has determined for this to take place may be through the distraught, broken voice of a believer crying out to him in prayer. Because we know we see both these things. We see both these things, the sovereignty of God and the importance of prayer in the Bible. Ephesians 1:11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Sovereignty of God. But also James 5:15-16, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. We see this throughout the Bible as well. Moses prayed for water and food for the Israelites. God then provided what he had always planned to provide, Numbers 11. Hannah prayed for a child. It was then that God delivered the prophet of Samuel that he had always planned to, 1 Samuel 1. Let's think about it this way. If God plans or God intends for a ball to roll off of a table, one thing he can do is he can just reach over and just knock the ball off with his hand, right? Just knocking it off directly. But he can also choose to set up dominoes to sequentially fall chronologically until the ball is caused to fall off the table. So God is sovereign and over all things. And he will accomplish his final ends by the means that he has set up as well. Right? So if our prayer is that domino, we cannot refuse to knock over just because God already knows whether the ball is going to fall off or not. Right? If our prayer is that domino, we cannot refuse to knock over just because God already knows whether the ball is going to fall off or not. God's in charge of the ends and the means. I found a helpful quote by Pastor Sam Storms. We must never presume God will grant us, apart from prayer, what he has already ordained to grant us only by means of prayer. One more time. We must never presume God will grant us, apart from prayer, what he has ordained to grant us only by means of prayer. So does prayer make a difference? Yes. So pray. Pray with confidence. Pray with confidence of God's plan. Pray with humility of your own place in that plan. Pray without ceasing. Pray to the God who is sovereign over all of the world. So the three questions we asked today, we asked, what is prayer? Which is communicating and communing with God to the Father through the Son, empowered by the Spirit. We asked, why do we pray? We looked at three reasons: to obey God, to know God, and then to love others. And then we asked, does prayer make a difference? And we said, yes. So will you pray? And why will you pray? Let me bring us back to the quote from the great-voiced Morgan Freeman at the beginning of the talk. Remember, if someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience, or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If he prayed for courage, does God give him courage, or does he give him opportunities to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings, or does he give them opportunities to love each other? If someone prays to our God, to our Father for patience, God can give them patience. If we obediently pray for courage, God is delighted to give us courage. If we pray to our sovereign God for our family to be closer, he will do what is in his will for our family. God listens to our prayers. So fittingly, let us end in prayer.